This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Mickey Spagnola rocking at 11:40. So right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Here we go.
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com.
That was Cooper Rush.
I can't wait. That was Cooper Rush. Nice job.
I did not even notice that.
I can't wait until tomorrow when we get out to the Hewlin location at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Near the mall.
Where we're giving away the tickets to Cowboys Texans,
that's right.
By the way. We got to represent.
Miller Lite is giving away those tickets. Thank you very much. I'm trying to take credit for Miller Lite.
Thank you. But then on top of that, everybody in that place is going to be going, dip. Because that's what they've started doing on their own. No, not that. And then they start cheering for Mike.
I did enjoy that.
It's an amazing day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, man. Hewlin location, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Now, what you can take credit for is you might get to shake Corey's hand with all kinds of the Cowboys swag gets given away. That's true.
Those are very rare. I'll just tell you
Hey,
that.
Look.
And you like cashews and you like honeyed nuts.
That is correct.
Okay.
Are you going to stop by the nut company?
I'm going to try to.
Okay.
I think they open up early enough.
Do you think you'll probably go in the morning, or do you think you might be able to stop by there tonight?
No, I'm not stopping by there tonight. I don't live near, it's off of 30 and Montgomery. That's where I used to live. I don't get it.
All right.
He wants me to drive there tonight?
Let's dive into
the nut company?
Gridiron Gravy, where
it's not that important.
Burn.
They're just nuts.
This is my new favorite segment. I can see why people enjoy being on the other side of this. All right. I'm going to take you to cut number 11. Be nice with your thoughts about this because this has become a sensation. This is a Colts fan who's singing up their hype song.
Yo, this is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. Fortune, beat the Texans, horns down on Stroud's turf. This is our team, go Colts!
What was the last word?
Nay.
Nay, because of their horses.
All right.
Their horses.
So,
good job. They should play that when they come out of the tunnel.
Actually, he has like a new song, I think, every single week. And so that's Seth DeFlo Erskine's. He has turned into a viral sensation, and he has won Colts Fan of the Year. Well, along with that, you get a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl.
Okay, first
what?
Off.
Yeah.
First off, that was...
The Colts aren't even going to be playing in it.
That not even close. Likely. That was not even close as good as the Little Sebastian song, all right?
That's on Parks and Rec. I was thinking of who's the fat guy who got really
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. This sounds like a song Chris Pratt would have done.
It did.
You thought it was Mouse Rat.
They were in Indiana where they were Colts fans. So, but that wasn't a good song.
Oh my god!
And that won two Super Bowl tickets. Cowboys fans out there, we hear it all the time.
They submit all the time.
They submit fantastic songs to the station that deserve so much more than that. So, hold on. What else did he do, Kevin?
He's done a bunch of these songs. And
they love them up there?
They have picked up a lot of traction on social media.
An interesting state that is, huh?
Sure.
All right. If that's their thing... Make more songs, Cowboys fans, is what I'm hoping for. Kevin, did you see yesterday on Twitter, one of our Tolos made up a song for Take a Load Off? He had lyrics for it and everything. Oh, yeah, it's pretty funny. He didn't perform it, but he has the lyrics written out in his notes.
I hope
on his phone.
I block that person. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'll send it to you though.
All right. How come the Chicago Bears can't score first? Every team in the league has now scored first in some game this season, with the exception of the Chicago Bears. Now, obviously,
even the Cowboys.
Yes, even the Cowboys. Wow. The Eagles are a newer addition to this list because, remember, they had scored no points in the first quarter at all. Yes.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Yes.
Now you know.
Until this past weekend. But now, Chicago Bears, the only team that has yet to score first in an NFL game. Do you have suggestions?
Run the ball a little more effectively early. They try to get Caleb Williams going really early from what I've seen. And I think DeAndre Swift is their, you know, their best asset.
Sure.
I know they have really talented receivers to go to. They had three really good receivers to work with. But I say give... And I guess I wonder, are you trying to get Caleb Williams involved early and you're trying to calm him down?
I think I am.
Because that's one of the things that I think is, if you have a three and out, then that was a waste of that effort. So I say run the ball, get first downs, and work on that a little more.
Now, Corey, I'm going to ask for your prediction to Mike's reaction to this next story.
Heck yeah.
Here are your two options. We'll be like, oh no, really? Or that's fine. He sucks anyway.
Okay.
Which one of those do you predict Mike's reaction will be to this story?
And I don't even know what the story
Correct.
Is.
Correct.
Sounds like a Trevor Lawrence story.
This sucks.
Or a Doug Peterson story.
Okay.
Or a Khan family story.
Ian Rappaport is rapporting that Trevor Lawrence is considered unlikely to play against the Vikings as he deals with a left shoulder injury that might require surgery.
And then I saw Jay Gruden was like, oh, he's going to get surgery. He's out. And then Ian Rappaport was like, no, might require surgery.
Might.
I think the story is more of this. Trevor Lawrence might be left-handed. After watching him throw the ball right-handed for 3 years in the NFL,
he threw it right-handed in college. It was just fine.
Yeah, I know, but that was at Clemson. I think we've determined... that after almost 3 years in the NFL, he might be throwing with the wrong hand.
Okay.
I think Mike really says that to that. Kids that like he works with.
I guarantee you, he has said at one time, are you sure you're throwing with the right arm? Is that a fair assertion?
No, but I've thought it. I didn't tell him that. I have done this. After watching a kid swing right-handed, I'm like, let's try left-handed.
just give him a little different look.
More natural? Yeah. This looks very difficult for you right now.
Let's go. Damn. Let's go to cut number four. The most, believe it or not, the most unstoppable connection in the NFL right now, without question,
is
Goff to St. Brown.
They bring six. They drop one. Launching Goff over the top for St. Brown. And Detroit, after trailing by 10, has taken the lead.
Now, let's go back to week three when St. Brown had a pass thrown to him from Jared Goff. He didn't catch it. Since then, that's it. He has caught 30 consecutive targets from Jared Goff.
It's awesome.
30 targets, 30 catches. That's amazing.
His dad, you know, world-class weightlifter, was very hard on him and his brother growing up. Not hard, but like demanding of what they needed to do to be successful. Yeah. And he's right there at games, after games, all the time. So I'm sure after that drop, he was like, oh, he gave him one of those speeches that only dad can give. And he demands excellence out of himself.
I like it.
He fits perfectly into what Detroit's asking of their players because he's that kind of a leader player. And he and Jared Goff. Jared Goff's an accurate passer. He's an accurate and efficient passer. And this year, the plays are perfect for what they're trying to do. So that is a very impressive streak, though, man. Very impressive streak.
I'm having to change my mind on Jared Goff.
Yeah?
I have always thought he's been average to maybe above average, but I've kind of been like, Sean McVay really helped him out, and then he went to Detroit, and right, it got worse. And so you're like, well, I get it, man. McVay's a genius offensively. Yes, he's number one overall pick, but I think it's been determined by Sean McVay and by others. He's a starting quarterback, but nothing special. But as his career keeps progressing, I keep thinking to myself, his resume to me is getting like this, but maybe better, is Matt Ryan.
I could see that.
Matt Ryan had a lot of stats and everything.
And Matt Ryan had the one season where he took over and won MVP.
Maybe this is the Jared Goff MVP year.
Jared Goff could 100% win MVP this year. I'm not saying he's the favorite right now. I'm not saying he will. But, like, his team is good enough, and he's in that mix.
I do wonder, though, because he's not throwing a lot in games, but he's so efficient. And that is a number, that is a statistic that a lot of the quarterbacks, Drew Brees, those ones that you're looking at, you're going, okay, their efficiency is off the charts.
And that's what I'm curious about. This will be a fascinating reflection of those advanced statistics, Corey, to your point.
His completion percentage is 75%.
75%.
Right now.
And he's gone past Drew Brees and Peyton Manning in terms of having the most efficient 4, 5, and 6 weeks in the history of NFL football. However, his QBR is 58.1. And this is the disconnect when we talk about his QBR is 58.1, which I believe is 14th in the league. His quarterback rating is 150.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Teen, which I'm willing to wager is probably first or second.
It's second to Lamar, who's 120.
Okay, well, that's going to be tough to overcome if Lamar has quarterback rating and QBR. But but think about how crazy those statistics are then. In the old school method, he's second. In the new method, he's 14th.
My bad. Malik Willis is at a 130, Kevin.
Does he even qualify for that? No.
No,
way.
I think Jared Goff's going to be right there in the conversation when it comes to their record at the end of the year. That's going to be one of the solidifiers for it.
Could it come down to, man, I've given Lamar Jackson two MVP votes.
That's what I think.
He hasn't really done anything in the playoffs to validate?
Yes.
To validate that, and that's unfair. You should just judge it on the 2024 season. But I do think voters go, I've voted enough for Lamar Jackson. Yeah. He has two. Maybe Jared Goff deserves one. And if Lamar Jackson wins it all, I'll make sure to vote for him for MVP in the Super Bowl.
I will say this, though. 14-4 is the numbers there.
A touchdown interception?
Lamar is at 20-2.
Wow.
And that's the best right now. Josh Allen's at 17-2.
Is that including his running touchdown?
No, that's just passing.
Just his passing. 20 yards. Touchdowns.
Yeah, he's passing for 264 a game at 9.3 per pass or per completion and 20-2 touchdown to interception.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah, Lamar's having a fantastic year.
Yeah, and this is his best by far.
Yes.
Holy cow!
And he keeps getting 250 yards per game passing. All right. I'm going to tell you a story that's going to lead us down another weird old-timey football rabbit hole. Are you prepared?
I am now.
Now, you say that, but I'm not entirely sure you are prepared. Alec, are you prepared?
Four.
Exactly.
For rabbit holes.
He's not ready. All right.
I don't know how far rabbit holes go into the earth. And are they as big as Bugs Bunny made them where you can...
And are they tunnels that lead all over the place?
Do you think they're sentient bunnies? I guess they're all sentient, but like that can walk and talk English.
Do bunnies have claws?
No.
All right, let's investigate that in another segment.
How are they getting so far into the earth?
I'll ask my sister.
Okay. That's right. She's a vet.
Yeah, we have a veterinarian.
And they don't have knees because I've had a bunny foot before.
For a show filled with family members with medical people, from a vet to a pediatrician, we know shockingly little about medical things.
Yeah, I just got a lawyer
in
the family. So,
All right.
If you're having a baby, Oak Cliff Pediatrics.
That's true. That's our pediatrician.
You're having a bunny.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Might be in jail. Yeah. All right. Cameron Kitchens.
Really?
He's a... You can't, never mind.
Cameron Kitchens had two interceptions over the weekend. Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about the most important one.
One for 105 yards.
I saw 103, but okay. 103-yard interception return for a touchdown in the fourth quarter. That tied. Now, Mike, you're going to love the story from here.
All right.
Pete Barnum for the longest interception return for a touchdown in rookie history.
He created the circus, right, with Bailey.
I had an idea you were going to say that. That was P.T. Barnum.
Mm-hmm.
However,
yeah, that's close.
Pete Barnum's life is very strange as well. So Pete Barnum did this in, I believe I said 1926. So I decided to look into his career. He played 6 NFL games, and that was it. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, why? Why is that the case? Well, that's a great question.
Sometimes injuries happen, family things.
He took a job at Bethlehem Steel. While working at the steel place and, quote, Sparrow's Point, he tripped and fell into a vat of molten lava.
Oh, man.
What a way to go.
I've seen this.
He turns into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
he turns into Iron Man.
Not the Terminator.
And the Terminator, yeah.
He did not die initially. He had burns across pretty much his entire body, including his neck, chest, arms, hands. He was transported to the hospital where initial reports claimed he was winning the fight for his life. However, 4 days later,
he lost.
He died. So just think about, I'm sure this question would not happen, but if you ask Cameron Kitchens, hey, do you know what happened to the last guy who did this as a rookie? He fell into a vat of molten lava and died.
Jeez.
That's what actually happened to him.
Do you know who bought the Bethlehem Steel Company in 1901?
I do not.
Charles Schwab.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Man. Old-time NFL used to
be
crazy.
Was there a lawsuit here with Charles Schwab?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah. Dude, falling into in molten lava. Because how do you get that off of you? It feels like, isn't it melted and stuck to your body?
I don't think you do.
You just have steel that,
But yes, Pete Barnum, not P.T. Barnum. Although, pretty crazy backstory to him as well.
And that story's the kitchen sink. You get it?
That was everything is what he's saying, Kevin. What do you not get about that?
Yeah. It's like you gave the whole story and a bag of chips.
By the way.
On the pillow.
Chuba Hubbard or Chuba if you're not fancy. Signed a 4-year,
the other side of the pillow.
$33.2 million extension with $15 million in guaranteed money.
Rabbits, by the way, have strong front paws and they have sturdy nails to scratch at the ground. They stand in front of their chosen spot, spread their legs apart, and scrape the earth quickly. This action will create a spray of soil and a hole will appear. They got strong nails.
Billy Joel's song Allentown was about Allentown and Bethlehem and the closing of the Bethlehem Steel Company.
Probably because people were falling into vats of molten lava.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Just remember, that story was about football. Coming up next,
and
it's
rabbits.
Time... No, never that. For AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, Michael Bublé is a lot like us sports fans, more than you would imagine, next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin. Please come out and see us because we've been having a blast at these events. I know tomorrow's going to be fun as well. But now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
I know what it feels like to be Drake London. That's a wild sentence for a man of my stature, but I play in a 7-on-7 football league in Carrollton every Wednesday.
And you have to answer the hotline bling.
Yes, I do. And, that's wrong, Drake. That just hit me. I was playing yesterday. Quarterback overthrew a crosser to me, and the safety hip-checked me and sent me flying in a non-contact game. and I am struggling to walk around this studio.
Were you heated after that?
Not really, because it hurt. It was like straight bone on bone kind of thing. So
did you say it was God's plan?
It's the wrong Drake, Mike. It's the wrong Drake. And plus, the song that this person made is, he beefs with them, so we can't do that here. But it's time for AM
on
the
FM.
He's
not done, though, right? He's just trying to think of more. Yes. I can see it in his face right now.
I can tell by how still he's sitting. That's how you know he's processing.
That's his thinking pose.
Yeah, because I can't see his face unless I look at the fan cam.
Thinking pose is being still.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I can tell from my point of
Mike's
view.
Mike's moving again. He's not thinking.
Exactly.
And that's why he laughs now and cries later, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to kill the music for that one. All right, it's time for AM on the FM. I got a question of the day, plus Michael Bublé. You know Christmas is coming around, so we got to bring him up anytime we can. He is more like us than you would imagine. But the question of the day today is based off of another national holiday that I don't really think exists, but the National Holiday Calendar website says it does. Apparently today is National Men Cook Dinner Day.
Oh.
So you can answer one, do you plan on cooking dinner yourself tonight? But two, the real important question, okay, there we go. What is the one dish or meal that you cook that you take the most pride in?
I like 877-881-1053.
Can you stop, Corey? Can you stop?
You're just setting me up for it, man.
I'm wearing
it's like nonstop.
I'm wearing a Metro and Future t-shirt. This is not okay.
So I like
the question
my
is,
meatloaf.
Can you cook?
Kinda, I guess. Yeah.
I make a meatloaf that's pretty darn good.
That makes it so good.
It won't do that.
I think that the Bobby Flay recipe that I kind of copy, it has vegetables in it. It's kind of hidden for the kids, but it has like zucchini and peppers in it and stuff, and it has a great flavor to it.
It'll
it's
got
like a balsamic glaze. Like, you know, you take your ketchup and balsamic mixture and you mix it all up, and then that's your glaze you put on top. My mom made a great meatloaf too. I know how to make that one. That one's good, but I feel like this one is even a little bit better. And I'll tell you what, you can't tell the difference, and it's more healthy for you if you get ground turkey meat.
Oh yeah.
But you can do it with cow meat.
Okay.
It's called beef.
Yeah.
What's for dinner?
Now, Kevin, I just talked about my meatloaf. What would you like to talk about? What's your thing?
Like to make a breakfast sandwich that I think is very good. However, knowing how you guys are, you would not appreciate it.
Cheese.
I just put regular stuff on it.
Cheese.
Egg and bacon.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's toast.
What a breakfast sandwich is supposed to be.
And it's delicious.
Pretty much it.
Do you wrap it up in foil? Make sure the cheese is melted?
Is it scrambled eggs or fried eggs?
It can go both.
Whoa.
You can go either way.
Okay.
On that one?
Yeah. Never mind.
I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that you will do both. I just figured like you had to have your eggs a certain way or you just throw up.
Man. No, I'm good.
What's the cheese you use?
I like cheddar or sharp cheddar.
Colby Jack.
Colby Sapp?
Oh, hey, that dude can cook. That's something for a fact. That dude can cook.
Back in the day, in the morning, I would ask a lady, how do you like your eggs in the morning, scrambled or fertilized?
Time out. And if she said fertilized, what would you have to do?
I think that's where I draw the line. We're gonna go to Corey Majors.
I just want to know what was her answer.
Then we'll have to pause breakfast for a second.
Why?
All right, look, I thought you guys would think that was funny. You did not.
You're on the crates.
Man, the very first thing
questions.
I said, Kevin, come on. I'll be quiet.
What do I make? I mean.
Do you have to go to Home Depot?
What?
To get the fertilizer.
Oh, my God.
He probably has it at
or
the house.
Or Lowe's. I don't want to discriminate.
Yeah, he's probably got the fertilizer at the house.
Never mind.
That's your nickname? Kevin the Fertilizer Hagen?
Did you just forget my last name?
I couldn't get it out.
Oh, my God.
I was laughing too much. Kevin the Fertilizer Hagen.
Oh my god!
Like the refrigerator Perry.
We finally got into the nickname.
You're the fertilizer Hagelin.
Fertilizer.
Whenever you sign Mike's chair for Peace-a-thon, I want you to put in quotes Kevin the fertilizer. I need that to happen now.
Whoa, Kevin, for the 214. Another 214. No.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is hurtful.
469 said only for a second. Wow. Corey, your favorite meal.
Do you only need one dance for them to be the fertilizer?
From the 817, bring Colby back for Peace-a-thon. I will even admit Kevin's joke was funny if you do. Yes!
I won't.
I nail the steak every time.
Oh,
okay. I've gotten to the point where if it's on a grill, if it's in a pan, whatever it is, the kids love it. So as long as the kids are happy, I'm happy too.
Do you have to get a certain cut or a certain...
No.
Just steak. Nope. In general, you can get a crap steak, you can get a great steak, and you make it great no matter what.
Yeah, just the perfect time, every single time now. I've finally figured it out. And then this queso recipe book that I've got, every recipe has been awesome until this Gulf Coast one that I made with crab in it.
Oh, no good?
It was soupy, and I think I got a different American cheese than I was supposed to get. And it just turned out real soupy, not as like you know thick as you want your queso to be.
Oh, so. Yeah. Let's see. From the 817, my favorite is tenderloins with grilled corn on the cob. That sounds amazing. But from the 903, this is interesting. I make one heck of a spicy macaroni.
Spicy macaroni, yeah. Eh?
Ooh, I want to know what that is.
I can make a macaroni. I'm with cheese.
Uh huh.
I am making that for this Sunday. We have Friendsgiving.
Oh.
And I also make a pistachio ice cream pie, which is to die for.
Will there be dump cake on the menu?
That is a rich flex
right there. No. The people like the pistachio ice cream pie at Friendsgiving.
Oh.
Which is a very simple recipe, and it's very good. And people are like, how did you do this? I'm like, Jell-O pudding mix.
Oh.
Really? That's it?
That's really the secret recipe. It's really not a secret because I just said it.
That's true. Thanks, Mike.
That's a good point.
It's all the other things that you don't know about, like ice cream.
Oh, I'm not going to make it.
Let's see. From the 716, we got another mac and cheese saying it's their mom's recipe. Very cheesy. From the 817, simple. I take pride in everything I cook. I like that kind of confidence right there. Let's see. From the 214, chicken cordon bleu. Fancy. Very fancy.
That is fancy.
The 314, I'm going home tonight to attempt bourbon garlic cream over a New York strip.
Ooh.
That sounds good.
That sounds amazing.
And my specialty is chicken and dumplings. Listen. Grandma's chicken and dumplings were amazing. I mean, just amazing. And nobody's been able to quite get it right. Oh, Mom, I love Mom. It's just off just a scotch. And Grandma doesn't really remember everything anymore, so we don't know exactly what the trick is.
Let's see. From...
Add chicken.
Thank you, Mike.
Or
thank
dumplings.
You. Nope, that's a good advice.
From the 817, oh God, did I just hear Alec doing the weather updates? No, that's not me. That's pre-taped.
Do we have somebody else doing weather updates now?
I mean...
I always thought it was you.
No, that doesn't even sound remotely like me.
I
don't understand.
It's a fair trade.
From another 817, this is much better than the payload. Appreciate that. We're just speaking facts here on 105.3 The Fan. What I take the most pride in, you mentioned there's a lot of dessert there. My mom had a recipe for peanut butter pie that I used to work the Cowboy games every Thanksgiving up here. And I would bring that up here. That was the first thing to go. Every single time. And it's the dumbest, simplest recipe ever.
Do you know how to make it?
I do.
You do know how to make it?
I do. And I will bring it up here for Peace-a-thon.
Thank
you. If you want me to. It is so simple, so easy to make. And Chris Arnold, he can vouch for it. I made it for him a couple years ago, and he loved it. So that, I've nailed that. And then the smash burger is something that I've nailed recently. Ooh, my dad and I have been experimenting, for years now, trying to get the right recipe. We finally got it down.
Yeah.
We finally perfected it. That is the Medford household staple outside of my dad's brisket.
I'll tell you something to watch about smash burgers. If you want to get a little bit extra or maybe a little bit better, Brandon Hurtado on his YouTube page. So if you just type in like Hurtado's barbecue or Hurtado, it'll come up. I believe he does a smash burger with Josh Young.
Oh yeah.
Huh.
And shows some of kind of maybe his tricks to make like a really good smash burger. I'm not saying yours isn't great, Alec, but I know that Hurtado's has like a deal out on YouTube where he shows how he makes his smash burger.
And you know what goes great with a smash burger is a Dr. Bot from Martin House Brewing. Those are fantastic, fantastic pairs right there.
So we met with them yesterday, and they have some awesome names.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Beer. Yeah, they're really
cool. And the
cool.
artwork on the cans is crazy.
It really is good.
Some of them, I was like, I don't even want to touch it. I just want to put it on a shelf.
I bet some people do that.
You want to know something cool about that? So they have these two packs that the cans will come in. They're heavy beers. Like these are 14%, 17%. But they have these two packs. My kids started collecting the boxes, and they told me yesterday. They said, "Yeah, we do printouts of the boxes. So if y'all want any of the printouts, like that's the way. That's an approach. We'll be there next Thursday. We'll be at Martin House Brewing on next Thursday in Fort Worth."
Yeah, I gave my dad a couple cans of the pickle beer, and he is ecstatic to try those this weekend. That's going to be, that's his thing. He loves the crazy craft beers like that. But I love people, celebrities specifically, who are just like us and just like Corey Majors, obsessed with their fantasy teams. Michael Bublé was on the Rich Eisen show this week, and he was explaining how he has to explain to his wife, this is real life.
My wife will say to me all the time, it's not real. And I will say, you don't know it's real. it is real. And I'm not, when I say this, Rich, it's not a lie. It's not a joke. Anybody in my life, including my wife, will tell you, I would give you, you know, those Grammys you were talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Have them. Take them. Give me the Pop Jazzers Fantasy Football Championship. And I will give you I will gladly say,
yes.
The Grammy wasn't for me this year. That's okay. I worked really hard. I'm really proud of the people I'm in with. But give me that. I want to swear so bad. It's so hard not to swear.
I know.
Give me that trophy. And I won it twice.
That's how bad you want it. Oh, that's how much fantasy football is.
On the drive here, I have sadly 8 leagues. And I know that's sick.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't mean to. It just sort of happened like that.
What do you mean?
It's the same as the 4 kids. It just...
I don't know how it happened with the 4 kids.
So he's in 8 leagues, and he said he would give up all of his Grammys that he's won just to win that one fantasy league that he's in. It sounds with other musicians in his profession, he would rather have that trophy every year than the Grammys that he wins. And he's just like us, man. I would give up everything to take the pride of winning the 105.3 The Fan Fantasy League.
It sounds miserable to be in 8 leagues. You're rooting against yourself a lot, too.
Oh, yeah. You have to be. You have to be because many rivals and whatnot.
Yeah, you have to be like, I have him, but then I am going against him. And now I have to make a determination on which league I want to win right now. Ugh.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, I know when I looked at the practice report, no Bland, Zach Martin, Wanye, and then Diggs, Guyton, CeeDee, Micah, all limited. I know Micah said he was going to play, but did we get any more information from Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy basically said that CeeDee had a good day and felt like that he would be out there going through basically what he did yesterday. There was no repercussions of anything from his AC joint. Micah sounded like he said he had a really good day. He was limited, so he didn't take all the snaps, but he did get into team portions of the practice. And Mike said that he spoke to him this morning and it seemed like all things were going forward. So that was some good news. And, you know, the guys that did not practice, now they didn't put rest on them like they would normally do with Zach Martin, Eric Kendricks, I believe. But I think they were just being cautious with the previous injuries not to get them too much work early in the week. And I think today's more of a barometer when they put the pads on and see how much those guys can do.
How are we planning on stopping Saquon Barkley this weekend, Mickey?
Hijacking the bus on the way to the stadium.
That's a good option.
Can we start there?
We can start there. Yeah. It just seems like he's going to get his.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he normally does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the key is to you know, keep it within reason. Don't let him end up with, what did he have, like 199 yards from scrimmage or something like that in the game this past week. I mean, I don't know. You know, you've got who you've got, right? And you're not adding anybody, so you're hoping they're able to play better. I don't know if you got any tricks that you can pull off to do a better job stopping the run. It comes down to my guy against your guy, and you hope you can limit the big runs and, you know, make some plays at some point, getting them into more third and longs and be able to maybe get some pressure on Jalen Hurts. So, hey, this team's 3-5, right? Their three of their last four wins have been against 2-7 teams.
True.
They haven't played the big boys.
No, that's
not so far.
Absolutely true, which might be why I want to try to change the subject and go back to old school Cowboys football. I thought this was just really, really neat. Bill Belichick was talking about Everson Walls.
Yeah.
And he got to coach him for a couple of years, and he just said, I've never seen anybody play like he does. He had a great career, probably should be in the Hall of Fame. I told Everson when we got him, look, Everson, I'm never going to tell anybody to cover the way you do it. I don't know how you do it. I don't believe in it, but I'm going to let you do it your way because you're still successful with it. Like, when we have what is, and I know you're in support of this already, but you have one of the greatest coaches of all time is even pointing out, like, even after all this time, yeah, this guy was amazing. He should probably be in the Hall of Fame. I just think that's really impressive to me.
Yeah, it was. And what you're hoping is some of the guys on that committee are listening, right? I mean, it's one thing for him to say it. You're hoping somebody's listening. And remember, he had him twice. So he had him with the Giants, right, when they won the Super Bowl in 1990. And then he had him with when he was the head coach at Cleveland. Everson ended up his last year or two with the Cleveland Browns. So he knew the guy. And basically what he was trying to say is that the way Everson covered, it was kind of unorthodox. It's not like this is how you teach all these techniques. He had a great awareness about what was going on around him. He had a great ability to see the football and to anticipate passes. He always credited his father teaching him how to catch fly balls in baseball. And he said when he was young, he used to like run really flat-footed. And his dad got him playing baseball, got him playing the outfield, and taught him that when you run, you got to run on the fronts of your feet. You got to be on your toes. You can't be flat-footed. And even though he wasn't fast, and I think Belichick pointed that out, and Everson will, he's pretty funny when he talks about his 4.7 in the 40, right?
Nice.
But he understood the game, and he understood patterns. And I think that's what Belichick was talking about. It wasn't like, okay, here's the book of how you play corner. No, you play corner with some instincts. And I remember Bill Parcells talking about Polamalu. Did I say that right? I
think
yes. That was close. He said that he's hard to game plan for because he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, meaning you can't anticipate where he is going to be because he's just playing football with his eyes. And, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, if we do this, the safety's supposed to do that. And Parcells would say, but I can't anticipate what he's going to do. And that's a hard guy to play against. And I think that was a little bit with Everson. And then think about it, you know, he played corner his whole career with the Cowboys. And basically, when he went to the Giants in 1990, you know, he was playing on the nickel, sort of like a safety, and, you know, made a couple big plays in that Super Bowl game to help the Giants win that year. And one of them was, of all things, stopping a run. And, you know, and I'm sure Everson wasn't known for his tackling, but he wasn't afraid to go up as a corner and make a tackle. And I think that started from his rookie year when he was an undrafted free agent from Grambling and, you know, shows up at training camp for the rookies and finds out there's like 8 or 10 cornerbacks that they signed after they told him they needed corners and you're our top guy. And then he shows up and they got a dozen corners that he's got to go up against. So, yeah, he was scrapping from the minute he got with the Cowboys because he knew he had to do everything he can do just to make the team. And then he ends up with 11 interceptions his rookie year.
So what I just heard there, Kevin, is that Bill Belichick wasn't biased whenever he said that just because he played for him. Bill Belichick was really actually being very honest. This dude is really good.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's good to see people behind the microphone that are honest and knowledgeable instead of just shooting for the hip, James Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, he
is that
apologized.
The guy who said Dak quit
on the
team?
He apologized very quickly. He apologized very quickly last night.
Yeah, but big deal with apologies,
right? That was a bad take,
I mean,
man.
Yeah, you put it out there. How many people, you know, heard you apologize?
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the newspaper business one time, a guy that I knew that ran a restaurant got accused of sexual assault, right? And front page of the newspaper. A week and a half later, it was basically the charge was dropped. They found out the whole thing was phony. Well, that was in very small type on the Metro section, right? How many people saw that? They saw the accusation. So to me, you know, maybe, I don't know, you just can't have everybody just because they're an athlete behind the microphone and they're qualified to spew off opinions that are half-cocked, right? Know what you're talking about first before you do something like that. Now, everybody, I never knew that James Jones had a, you know, podcast or FS1 show. Now everybody knows it, though, because they know it because he made a big mistake.
That is true.
That is a good point, Mickey. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, I got that off my table.
We'll catch up with you again tomorrow,
and
good
sir.
You
know what? I'll be here for you.
All right,
fantastic. There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Now, I wanted to mention something real quick. Selfishly, it ties into Peace-a-thon as well. AEW has announced that the tickets for their all-in event at Globe Life Field, which will be in July, that those tickets are going to go on sale December 9th for individual tickets, and VIP packages will be available on November 20th. So I want to tell you all that. You can go to allelitewrestling.com and find out more information about that. Or during Peace-a-thon, we have already procured 4 tickets to All In at Globe Life Field. And that will be one of our auction items. And I will tell you this. This is going to be hard to sell, Corey. I can't promise you there's going to be bonus stuff that gets added to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Like pizza.
But I...
Like pizza for Pizza-thon.
Feel like there's going to be extra stuff added to that later on. I can't 100% guarantee that, but...
Like a belt?
I've talked with multiple people in AEW, or maybe you get to go visit some people backstage.
What?
Yeah, you're going to have to win it from me. I'm warning you.
Can you leave stuff in their gym bags?
Like the Jaguars owner?
It'll be Randy Orton. Yes. I mean, I don't know if... I can't guarantee you can go talk with Mr. Khan, but I'll see what I can do.
You saying we get to shower with the wrestlers?
Okay.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence is a wrestler.
What?
Like, maybe he should... Think about that.
You just want him to quit being a quarterback? All right.
I still think he's going to be better.
When's that going to happen?
I don't know.
You keep that hope alive,
it's
Mike.
Frustrating.
You keep that hope alive.
I thought he was so good.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which Eagles players scare you? Where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? And if you say nowhere, I'll be sad, but I get your point. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.